Turn with me to the beginning, the book of Genesis. In the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 26, then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Right? We even got to deal with the creeps. Amen. Praise God. I've been called creepy a couple of times when I've ministered to people, and the Lord showed me what was going on in their life, and they'd say, "You're kind of creepy." Because all of a sudden what was in them was revealed, you know. So, yeah, it gets creepy. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God who created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over everything that moves on the earth." Now, when we talk about the image of God, the image means that it means a resemblance, but it also means representative. Let us make man in our image and be a representative. We resemble God, but he said, "I'm going to make man in my image to represent me in the earth." Let that soak in, to represent me in the earth. And the likeness means resemblance as well, but it means to model, shape, or fashion like. To model, shape, or fashion like. So we were made in the image of God to be a representative, a reflection, but we were also fashioned like God. The Bible talks about God's hands, talks about God's head, talks about God's back. You know, when he put Moses in the cleft of the rock and he passed by, he said, "I'll let you see the backside of me, but not my face." Moses couldn't take the glory and the power of his gaze. And just that little bit of exposure caused Moses to literally glow like a glow stick. I mean, the skin of his being became illuminated with all types of photonic God energy, and he literally glowed in daylight. When you glow in daylight, you know you're glowing. Amen. When Jesus was caught up on the Mount of Transfiguration and Moses and Elijah with him, it says that he was changed, and he literally glowed in white. And they saw the transformation. When we read in the book of Revelations, we see that Jesus, his brilliance is brighter than the sun. His eyes are like a flame of fire, his head like wool. And he literally shines with the presence and glory of God. In Hebrews, it says that he is the express image of God. Jesus is the express image of God and the brightness of his glory. Hallelujah. You don't have to be in the dark. You can be in the brightness of his glory. Now, the image of God, Satan wants to change the image of God. And we're living in a time where the enemy is after the image of God in America in such dramatic ways that we are confused. Anybody that's got any common sense is confused right now. We're looking at the world like a dog looks at you when you say something to them they don't understand. I mean, none of it makes sense. The image of God. Now, the Bible says that God made us in the likeness and image, and in his likeness and image, he made them. And then it says on over in verse 27, chapter 2 and verse 27. There isn't a 27. If you can find a 27, you're doing better than I am. Chapter 2 and verse 20. Let's go down to 21. I actually wrote this stuff down. If I'd have wrote it down right, it would have been great. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in his place. Then the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into woman. He brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Now, God said it's not good for Adam to be alone. And so he created Eve out of Adam and took part of Adam, and we talk about how he took part of took a rib and created a body, but I want you to understand that God didn't just take a rib and make Eve. God took half of the attributes of God out of Adam. Because Adam was made in the image and the likeness of God. In other words, he was a representative. To be a representative, you got to be like. And so he had the characteristics of God inside of him. All of the characteristics of God was dwelling in Adam. And God made Adam to sleep, and he took not only a rib and made a body, another body, but he took half of the attributes of himself out of Adam and put them in Eve. Therefore, as they become one flesh, that means that they become one image. The man has half the attributes of God. The woman has the other half of the attributes of God. And they together make a whole image of God. That's why God created us that way. Satan hates that. Therefore, he has been after the image of God ever since. Now, we need to understand today, we're not just dealing with fallen humanity, we are dealing with captive humanity. If we could understand that this is not just normal fallen behavior, but this is manipulated behavior by ancient spirits that have been around a whole lot longer than we have. They know us. They know our DNA, they know our weaknesses, they know our triggers, they know how to manipulate us, and we don't have a chance against them without the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, because we are way too familiar to these ancient spirits. You don't have a chance against them. They can manipulate you no matter how smart you think you are. They will actually end up using your smartness to make you dumb. I got scripture to back that up. Professing themselves to be wise, they have become fools. Come on, somebody. You can't outsmart them. That's like you going on a car lot, buying your first car, used car, and you got a 30-year veteran salesman there. You are not going to keep him from making money. He's going to make money off of you because he's been at this a whole lot longer than you have. Amen. So we, without Holy Spirit, the only thing that makes us strangers to these spirits, these familiar manipulative spirits, is Holy Spirit and the Word of Almighty God. then we have weapons to fight with. We have armor to protect us. And that's the only way that we have victory over these demonic powers is by the name of God, by the word of God, and by the spirit of God. That's the only thing that gives us power over these spirits. We are living in an age right now where our country has literally lost its mind and is desperately trying to reinvent and change the image of God. People don't know what to identify with today. You know, the devil stole that from God because the word of God changes our identity. The old man has passed away and you become a new man. You identify with Christ. And what are you in Christ? And so the identity is a very powerful thing. When you know your identity in Jesus Christ, it is a powerful thing. He can't get you out of that. It's not about knowing who you are in Christ. It's about knowing who Christ is in you. And when you have the attributes of Christ in you, then you become a whole human being. And God is able to make the gifts that he put inside of you become dominant in your life instead of your failures. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to go back on Sister Joy's message from last Tuesday if I'm not careful. Actually, I'm going to use all of it. I've taught identity in Christ for years. I've taught it in different parts of the world where there's been such confusion, racial confusion, and I've taught identity in Christ, and I've seen the light bulbs come on in their eyes, and they realize that they no longer have to identify as this or identify as that, but they are in Christ now, and they are in. I had one young man come up to me in South Africa just weeping after I taught for 4 hours on identity in Christ and receiving your identity in Christ. Talking about how we get our identity from this world and from genetics, but then we receive Christ, and Christ begins to bring us into the full identity of who Jesus is inside of us, and he begins to create in us the whole purpose of God. This young man came up to me from Zimbabwe, tears running down his face, and he said, "I was raised to hate you." He said, "My family, my culture taught me to hate you." And I just didn't say anything. And he said, "But today, my eyes have been opened. And now I realize you are my brother because we have the same father." The lights came on. And he grabbed me and hugged me, and he said, "I no longer have to be filled with hatred. Now I'm free." Hallelujah. We have to find the identity of Jesus Christ, and this world has become insane with identity, trying to change their identity, gender identity. There's kids, schools are now having to debate whether they're going to have litter boxes in the bathrooms because so many children are identifying as dogs and cats. And so they crawl under all fours and they wear fur. Literally, schools now are having to have meetings over how to accommodate the children that believe they are dogs and cats and can't use a normal bathroom, so they have to have litter boxes. Insanity has taken over humanity, and the thing is, people, adults, are encouraging this type of behavior. Why? Because they have become manipulated by demonic spirits. These ancient spirits. Read history. I mean, look in the Old Testament, all the perversion. It was all of this perversion and this abomination that kept coming. Men don't know if they're men. We have doctors that and people with PhDs that can't tell you what a woman is. This kind of stuff just... It don't make any sense to me. Because I didn't have any confusion growing up. You know why? Because my parents didn't lose their minds. When I was born, the doctor said, "Mr. Snyder, you just gave birth to a 10-pound, 4-ounce baby boy." He didn't say, "You just gave birth to something that's going to have to figure out what it is." Amen. Anytime they dig up remains, they always say it was a man or a woman. Amen. This confusion is coming from a demonic influence trying to change the image of God. You know, when we were young, my little brother, he's about 5 years old, he decided he was a dog. Thankfully, nobody encouraged this behavior. One day we were down on the streets of Branson. I mean, it's years ago. You know, I'm not that old, but it was a while ago. We was down on the streets of Branson. And there was four of us kids, and Mom would have us stand out on the sidewalk when she went into a store a lot of times. You can understand why. So she went into Ace Hardware to get something, and we were standing outside, and all of a sudden I heard somebody barking. And I looked down, and my little brother was down on all fours, and he was chasing this old man with a cane. This old guy was walking with a cane, and here's my little brother just going after him, barking, and he gets him by the pant leg, and he just... And, of course, my older siblings went both directions and left me to take care of my little brother. And so I run after him, and I say, "Let go of him, let go of him." I had hold of his shirt, and I was trying to pull him. Man, he had a death grip on this guy's pant leg. And I was trying to pull him off. This old man was shaking his leg, hitting him with his cane. And I was trying to pull him off. I said, "Steve, stop it, stop it." I was about three years older than him, so I was about eight. And I was trying to pull him off. I finally got him pulled off of him. And was dragging him backward by his shirt. And all of a sudden, he came out of his shirt. And here he goes again after that guy. Got him by the pant leg again. I finally got him off. He did not break character. I carried him back to Ace Hardware, put him in a wheelbarrow, and got on top of him, was sitting on him. And he was still barking and growling at me. He didn't break character. But thankfully, nobody said, "Oh my goodness, you're a dog. Let's get you a litter box and let you wear fur." It's just imaginations. And we take imaginations and turn it into lifestyle changes that totally destroy our children. In our likeness, in our image. Turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. The commandments that God gave. Chapter 20, verses 4 and 5, it says, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image. any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord God, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third, fourth generations, and those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Hallelujah. Yeah. What God is saying here, he said, don't change my image. Don't take what I have created and turn it into me and start worshiping it. God was very clear about his image. Why? Because that's how we connect to God. That's how he connects to us. When Adam and Eve, I heard T.D. Jakes say this one time, and it made sense to me. When Adam and Eve sinned, God came down in the garden. They ran and hid, and God came down to talk to them, to look for them. And he went through the garden hollering, Adam, where are you? This is all-knowing God. And I like this. T.D. Jakes said, God came down saying, I can't see my reflection in the earth anymore. Where did you go? Don't change my image. The image of God, we were created in image and likeness of God, male and female. Turn with me to the book of Leviticus. I'm going to jump on over to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 18. I'm confronting a lot of things in our society today. And people say, well, you're getting political. This has never, ever been political. This is politics getting involved in our business. If they didn't want our input, they should have stayed out of our business. Amen. They need to balance the budget and shut up. Come on, somebody. We can shout on that one. Yeah. I hear somebody say, I don't like that. Hang on, I'm about to get really bad. Amen. If I haven't insulted you yet, just hang on. I'll be there. Leviticus 18 and verse 20. Moreover, you shall not lie carnally with your neighbor's wife to defile yourself with her. You shall not let any of your descendants pass through the fire to Molech. Nor shall you profane the name of your God, I am the Lord. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. Nor shall you mate with any animal to defile yourself with it. Nor shall any woman stand before an animal to mate with it. It is perversion. Do not defile yourselves with any of these things, for by all these the nations are defiled, which I am casting out before you. Now, if you read this preceding chapter, it goes piece by piece of every individual that you are not to uncover the nakedness of. Do not uncover the nakedness of your father's wife. Do not uncover the nakedness of your sister-in-law. And it goes through verse by verse by verse telling us, and I want to ask you something. When you read this chapter, who is he talking to? He's talking to men. All of this is to men. Boy, got quiet in here. Well, Well, if she hadn't wore that outfit, I wouldn't have been attracted to her. It doesn't matter what she wore. You're responsible for your actions. Matter of fact, abortion would not be an issue in this country if every male was held accountable for his seed. I know this isn't normal preaching. It's like, whoa, did he actually just say that? Yes, I did. Amen. I remember times when I was growing up watching young ladies get pregnant, and that young lady would always seem to be the one that got shamed. I do not understand why they didn't hunt down the young man that impregnated her and hold him accountable. Rob said it here a while back. He said the most damnable lie that's ever been told to young men in America is boys will be boys. No, boys will become men, and men will be responsible for themselves and for their behavior. We are not dogs out mating with anything that shows up. Amen. If you're not uncomfortable yet, hang in there. For years, the church has avoided these taboo issues, and we are in a mess. The church is in a mess. We don't know how to take a stand about anything. We're afraid we're going to lose people. You know why? Because most churches are bound by debt, and they have to hang on to the people they got because they have to feed their debt. They got to pay their debt. They got to feed this monster they've created. And if they lose people, then they're going to lose their building. I got to tell you something. If we hang on to a building and let the gospel go, then we are no different than the ones that got driven out. Amen. When we can't preach the gospel because we're afraid of losing some money, we have already lost it. We've already lost everything. If our young people can't come to church and have a clear understanding of what is right and what is wrong, then we have failed. Last Sunday in New York City, there was a church that had a great celebration. And it was a great celebration as they had a transgender parade in the church, and then had a transgender person give the message. And the church was standing up applauding and whooping and yelling as these ridiculously embarrassing outfits that these men had on. I mean, they were vulgar. And here they come prancing through the church and people celebrating. I got to tell you something, that is no longer a church. You know, I was praying about this here a while back because we have been under pressure in this country to somehow reach out to people, to win the lost, to redeem people. How do we do that? If we draw clear lines in the sand, how do we reach people? By getting them to step over the line. I was praying about that here a while back. And I said, God, how do we do this? How do we win this world? His answer said, you need to read it again. I went back and read it again, the Great Commission. He did not tell us to win the world. He said, preach the gospel, and they that believe will be saved. and they that believe not will be damned. And I said, God, help us. We have believed in our hearts that we needed to attract people to God when what they need is to be changed and transformed and delivered out of their perversion, their abomination, and the chains that bind them. Amen. Hallelujah. One of the reasons this is so important, you know, when God was given the law of Moses, it is so stringent. I mean, but I began to realize this here a while back. When God gave the law, he was not trying to restrict people from pleasure, or he was not trying to put them in a box. What he was doing, he was giving them the power to not be manipulated by these spirits like other countries. Because we read, as Pastor Rob preached so amazingly last Sunday, about the works of the flesh. When we give ourselves to the works of the flesh, then we are vulnerable to manipulation. But the fruit of the Spirit saves us from manipulation. Hallelujah. Change, it delivers us, it separates us so that we can't be, you know, I've been in pastors' meetings, I've been telling them, guys, look, we're the most vulnerable people there are to these spirits. You know why? Because they don't want to shut the church down. They want to infiltrate it because these spirits have no authority in the earth. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. They no longer have authority, so they have to get man to give them their authority so they can operate in authority, because they have no authority. That's why they're not trying to shut the churches down. They're trying to infiltrate them and become leaders in the church because they need the authority of the church. They need the authority of the believer. Of course, once we do that, we're no longer believers. But yet we carry the name. And because we carry the name, we give them the authority. I know that's hard to understand, but you got to understand the legalities of the spiritual realm. They're very legal. Very legal. God was talking to us about how to save ourselves from this perversion, from this abomination. I want you to understand something. He told the people, he said, there's a reason this is happening. I want to look in verse 27. Let's just go back up 24. Do not defile yourselves with any of these things, for by all these the nations are defiled, which I am casting out before you. For the land is defiled, therefore I visit the punishment of its iniquity upon it, and the land vomits out its inhabitants. I want you to think about how that's stated. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, either any of your own nation or any stranger who dwells among you. For all these abominations the men of the land have done who were before you, for thus the land is defiled, lest the land vomit you out also when you defile it, as it vomited out the nations that were before you. Whoever commits any of these abominations, the persons who commit them shall be cut off from among their people. See, God didn't just drive the inhabitants of Canaan out so that the Israelites could have it. What he said was, they have brought such abomination upon the land that they have defiled the land. Can you imagine? God actually looks upon the earth and the land. We have been given authority in the book of Genesis. We have been given authority and dominion over all the land. And God said they have defiled the land. And therefore, the land is going to vomit them out before you. And I'm giving you the land. If you do what they did, you will be vomited out of the land as well. Wow. Tough preaching, isn't it? Somebody's saying, I come here today to be blessed. You listen to me, you'll be blessed in ways you never imagined, because God will lift the oppression off of your life and lift the abomination off of your life, and you'll know freedom like you've never known it, and you know the presence of God like you've never experienced it, because God will give you the land if you'll obey Him and keep His statutes. This land has been defiled. America is being defiled. When you read the Word of God, when all of this about abomination and defilement, every bit of it's about sexual sin. Every bit of it. Purity. Why? Because it all has to do with God's image, God's character. God's a faithful God. God's a loving God. God's not an abandoning God. He's not a divorcing God. He's not an adulterous God. He's not a fornicating God. He is a faithful God. And His creative power. Do not make your children pass through the fires of Moloch. That was the god that they offered sacrifice, and they would get this fire going inside of this big, huge statue with arms, hands stretched out, and they would go up and throw their children on the arms of this statue with red hot hands and a big fire burning, and they would burn their children to death as a sacrifice to Moloch. The character of God, the creative power of God. The devil has been after children from the beginning. That's why all sexual sin always turns toward the children. Stop and think about it. This country isn't satisfied now with just having open love, not being committed to each other, having sex with anybody you want to have sex with. This country isn't happy with that now. Now they've turned their focus onto the children. It's always the downward spiral, and it always ends up on the children. The only thing that's going to save our children is for the people of God to come back to Him and say, God, separate us from this iniquity. Separate us from this abomination. I got to tell you something. There is a powerful group of believers rising up in this land that are blessed. They are anointed. They are sanctified unto the Lord. They are praying over this land. They are going from city to city to city, capital to capital. They are preaching the gospel all over. We are seeing an amazing revival take place. And the reason that's happening is because there's some folks about to get vomited out of the land. Are you listening to me? See, if we lay down, if we just quit, if we say, well, we don't want them to not like us, we don't want to upset anybody, then we will be vomited out as well. But there is a remnant of God's people that have risen up and said, no, we will not change the image of God. We will not pervert the character of God, and we will not sacrifice the creative power of God. We will honor God and his law, and because of that, there is a blessing coming upon the people that serve him. But that blessing is a sure sign to the devil of his demise. Amen. Hallelujah. God takes sexual sin very seriously. Matter of fact, the Bible says that fornication is the only sin that comes against your body. Your body will suffer. And we're seeing it. Monkeypox. Monkeypox is something that can be dealt with real quickly. It will not spread if we stay faithful to one man and one woman. Man, I'm preaching tough today, ain't I? Yeah. Some of y'all is embarrassed. Some of you are mad. But that's what has to happen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. If I preach a message and everybody just sits there and says, oh, isn't that nice? I've not done my job. Amen. Stand with me today if you would. Val, come on. There is plagues that are coming upon this nation. And it's because of the abomination that has been brought upon this land. When you have to constantly watch your children all the time now because they could be stolen by traffickers. I mean, it's not like kids can just go out and play on the streets now. Because people are driving around in vans with no windows in them. Look at who they can steal. When we bring our righteousness back, when we bring the righteousness of God back to our lives, then we end up free. You've never lived a more happy life than living a life inside of the boundaries of God's word. Amen. I've watched people lust and prey on each other for years. And I've never seen one of those people happy. They're always miserable. Always full of heartache. you want to live a blessed life, then you got to bring your life in line with what blesses it. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your word today. Thank you for Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, that your presence is amazing. Lord, we humble ourselves before you today, and God, we repent as a nation. We repent as a church. Lord, as pastors, we repent, Lord God, because we have not held the standard of the Word of God up high. Father, we humble ourselves before you, and we ask you to forgive us, Lord God, of our iniquities, our abominations, our defilements. Father, forgive us for those things. And Lord, I thank you, God, for redemption coming back to this people. Lord, for redemption coming back to a backslidden nation, a nation that is cold and indifferent toward you. Thank you, Father. Lord, we don't want to be in the number of those that are vomited out. God, we want to be in the number of those that are coming in. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. The Word of God says in John 10:10, says, "For the thief has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy." But then it says, "But Jesus has come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly." Hallelujah. You can have a happy life. But it does not include the things of this world that people look to. Amen. I've had a very happy life. Been married almost 43 years. Never, I don't need alcohol to keep me happy. I don't need drugs to keep me happy. I don't need the things of this world to keep me happy. Why? Because happy lives on the inside of me. His name's Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You want to fix your ills? Praise God. Quit playing games with God and get full of the Holy Spirit, and your life will become blessed and happy and prosperous. But when we can't make up our mind, listen to me, man. I want to just talk to the men in this house. We are the ones being held accountable for the state of this nation. God is holding us accountable. Not our wives, us. And he wants to know what we're going to do to change this thing. Because he's given us his word, he's given us his spirit, he's given us the ability. And it's time for us to start standing up for righteousness and inspiring the generations below us to seek after life. God said, "I put before you death and I put before you life." And he said, "Choose life. Choose life." Hallelujah. Choose life.